Hello there. Welcome in. And away we go. Episode number 94 of Three Guys Before the Game is prepared for takeoff. Thank you so much for being with us, everyone. It is Three Guys Before the Game. Tony Caridi along with the Senator, Brad Howe, and former Mountaineer standout, Nathan Adrian. We welcome you in. This is episode 94. It is the post-Kansas State edition of the show. Coming up on the program, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We'll talk about the game, plus deep dive into some numbers that I think you'll find interesting. This 94th episode of Three Guys Before the Game, as we quickly move toward 100, is being brought to us in part by Bet Lucky. That is the app, the only app in the state of West Virginia that makes sports betting so easy. You can place your bets right there on your telephone. It's very easy to do. If you're over the age of 21 and you're in the state of West Virginia, you can do it. And right now you're getting two times your first bet back in bonus money. All you have to do is download it on the App Store, either the Wheeling Island or Mardi Gras Casino. You make the designation there, and it's Bet Lucky, all one word. All games are regulated by the West Virginia Lottery, and please do play responsibly. As a disclaimer before we begin this 94th episode, I don't know why, but the Senator is in a foul mood. Nathan and I, chipper, bouncy, smiling, guy in the middle here,
it's not good. It's not pretty.
You know what I know? Oh, I just figured out what it was. It just hit me what it was. So you went to the game last night.
Tired.
Oh, excuse me. Turn your microphone off.
I'm tired.
You can't handle it. You went to the game last night. You stayed to the game. You did not have the comfy confines of your lazy boy. And so you had to stay. You had to walk outside in the cold after it was over. It was like midnight, right? And so now you come in like the grumpy preschooler.
Well, walking out at midnight wasn't the hardest part of the night.
What was the hardest part?
Well, watching the game. Watching the second half. There was some life there at halftime. Actually sitting there at halftime watching Bruce Weber get even tighter than he normally is, thinking, this has a feel here. West Virginia might have they got a shot at this. This has the feel that there could be an upset. Not a lot of people in the stands, but the ones that were there were loud. It got up a little bit. K-State was tight. They were off their game. That was the recipe for the upset.
I think you got more than a half. I think you got 28 minutes. It was 42-42.
Yeah. And then the 19-2 run kind of ended things?
23-9.
That made it tough.
Yeah, it made it difficult. Missing the last nine shots made it difficult. So what do we take? Well, first off, we're going to bust into this game a little bit about Kansas State. Plus, thanks to our texters, we've got a couple of good questions, and I took one of the questions, and I went deep. You know how deep I went? I went to YouTube, and I turned on that concentration music. You know, they got that music. It just, like, plays for 3 hours. It's like it gets in your head so you can focus and concentrate. Basically,
well, that's
like
something you've never used before. Where's that been? We should use that.
I use it a lot, actually. It's kind of like YouTube ADD. It's YouTube ADD medicine is what it is. Like, you just listen, and it does something to your head. So I went in and started doing these numbers, and I was at it for 54 minutes, and it seemed like five. So it works. So from now on, I'm just taking that YouTube video. Concentration.
That's the secret sauce?
Strongly recommend it.
So you did
it.
Some grinding into stats. That's interesting because I also did some ciphering. I went back into the 70s to find the last time something that you're seeing right now. The last time we've seen it.
I want to hear what it is.
Went back into the 70s to find that.
All right.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that in a second. Also, we have a food offering from another continent. Not Africa either.
Is it here? Because I'm just going to ask you, is there any food? Because no. I'm also hungry in addition to being
That's
tired.
That's why you're cranky. But no, another continent has checked in, asked for our mailing address yesterday, and going to be sending stuff in from a different continent.
Sending food from another, can it get into the country?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you just write books on it. Fragile books. That's what you do. Anyway, can't wait for that Vegemite sandwich. Here we go. Last night's game. Kansas State, with its experience, holds on there and gets its footing after the game got tied up at 42 apiece and then ran away from West Virginia, as we just said. My observation, and you guys can jump in here, my observation was this current edition of the Mountaineers played extremely hard, for the entire game. And for that, they should be complimented. They did play hard. The problem is, right now, they do not have the ability to consistently score from the perimeter, and as a result, they cannot win these kinds of games. They did not need to be playing the number four scoring defense in the country last year, a team that only allows 60 points per game, and they hold West Virginia to 51. So there were positives coming out of it, obviously. Huge, huge areas that need to be improved, need to be better. You wonder what they would look like out there if Beetle Bolden was healthy, running around, getting some threes off. How big of a difference does that make? But let's face it, Kansas State's a really, really good team. Preseason number two, might win the whole thing. And, you know, West Virginia kind of battled. And at this point, I think that's what it is. Your takes.
I think you're extremely right. They're a very good team in their experience, and they're old enough to understand the situation that they were in during this game. This is a game that they needed to win very badly if they had any hopes of winning the league, because it's going to get tough for them down the stretch, and their seniors knew that. So when things got tough, they stepped up and made plays, and since we're young and don't have experience, we didn't step up and make plays when it came down to it in the last 10 minutes.
With the readjusted expectations for this club, I thought last night, I think what you said is correct. I thought they did play hard. I thought defensively for a long stretch there, it looked decent. Guys were up guarding, physical. I know Kansas State lends itself to a physical game because they're physical as well. So I don't know whether to be encouraged, or I walked out of there last night and I looked at the scoreboard as I'm leaving. You got beat by double digits at home. You only scored 51 points. That's not, those metrics aren't good, right? At any other time, we would have said, ugh.
Right.
I walked out of there going, that's the best they've looked in a couple weeks. So I don't know whether that's encouraging or that's more discouraging that's where it is with this group. But I think you're right. I think they did play hard. They just didn't have the ability to get over the hump and close it against what's a really good team that had a bad night and played poorly. But there's guys on that team. There's a reason they've won what? Are they 10 straight now in conference play?
No, they're 10 out of 11. They had won nine. Good. They had won nine. So when they beat West Virginia, that started a 9-game win streak that snapped on Saturday at home against Iowa State. So they've now won 10 of their last 11.
It also shows you, just as, and I won't veer too far off in this, we can talk about this later, but it does also show you, I mean, that's a team that has aspirations of winning this league, and they're in as good a position as anybody in this league. It does show you that even though I think we all agree there's not a top-end team in this league, the depth is there, and just how difficult it is to win in this league. West Virginia can't be having a worse season.
No.
It's about as bad right now as it can possibly get for any team across the league. And yet K-State, I mean, they were tight there for a while. That was darn near. That was in their heads that they may lose that game against a team that just can't find itself at all. That shows you how tough it is to win on the road, especially in this league.
It's an experienced league. If you have experience, you've got a great chance to be successful. West Virginia had that last year with those two guards and Javon Carter and Daxter Miles. And obviously the losses that West Virginia has suffered this season personnel-wise through injury and through discipline has certainly just changed the entire deal on this team. However, I just thought at times last night that Kansas State so resembled, and specifically Barry Brown, so resembles Javon Carter in his confidence on the floor and his ability to get shots. He feels totally confident. He hit the big one from the corner with the shot clock expiring. He goes into the middle of the lane, pulls up in transition. He pulls up and hits shots. That's Javon Carter. And I just think you got to have that kind of a guy that kind of corrals everyone, and that's the role right now that this West Virginia team cannot fill at this point.
You do need an old guy like that your team and your younger guys have confidence in game in and game out. It's almost like a safety blanket for them, because you look for them whenever things get tough to make a play for you. Even my freshman year, we didn't have any seniors, but going into every game, I felt okay because we had Juwan State, and I knew that he was going to come out and he was going to play and he was going to compete and he was going to do the things he needed to do to put us in a position to win.
Yeah.
And our younger guys don't have anybody to look for. There's no way that they can look at and say he's going to take care of us.
Yeah, I agree with you. So what else do we take from that game? Individually, obviously the word is out on Derek Culver, and that is – absolutely attack him. If not two, then get three guys around him. He still goes double-double. He gets 11 points and 13 rebounds. And obviously, he's going to have some issues there. He's going to have to figure it out. It's going to be fun to watch him develop in the off season, and they will work with him, and hopefully he gets better. But right now, 5 turnovers last night. He made a couple of very nice assists. So he's willing to pass the ball, and that's
really good passer.
He really is. Has a good head on his shoulders. Played 36 minutes last night, but couldn't get his shot to fall because he's getting doubled, making shots tough. You know, he's scissoring stuff up there. He was 3 out of 9 from the field, second game in a row that he struggled from the field, but he continues to battle, and that's really good. Massive minutes for Emmett Matthews. Previous to last night, Emmett Matthews' most minutes that he played in a game was 21 in the non-conference portion. He played 20 against Iowa State. Last night, he gets 36, and he scores 9 on 4 out of 8 from the field, 1 out of 4 from 3, but he got just 1 rebound, which doesn't put a smile on Bob Huggins' face. But I think we both agree we want to see him go out there and just keep doing that. Just go out there, get on the floor, and see what you can do over the next half dozen games.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's what we had talked about last week, is at what point is that just going to happen for this group, where you just turn some guys loose out there, let them play through mistakes, and just say, all right, here, you're getting 30-plus minutes, go see what you can do. It came last night, so I was glad to see that for Matthews, because it's a guy that still, he shows you skill. There's some skill there. Now you just need to play through the inexperience.
Exactly. I thought he played very well. I mean, barring his 1 rebound, it's kind of hard not to fall into 2 rebounds in 36 minutes, but I thought he played all right. He made a couple shots, made a couple good passes, so I think he can definitely build on this game and improve.
All right, point guard play last night. Brandon Apper does get you double figures. He gets 10 points, 2 assists, 0 turnovers, 29 minutes. Didn't shoot the ball well, though, and that's going to happen, but he was 4 out of 12, so he's at 33% overall, 2 out of 7 from 3. Really needed that 3-point game to click. No one could hit threes. He ends up with 2. That's the most. This 3-point shooting just continues to be an absolute bricklayer's contest. 5 out of 23 from the field. So they made 2 of their first 4 from 3. They ended the game 3 out of 19 from 3. That's 16% over the final go. Also, how about this number? They started the game 7 out of 12 shooting, West Virginia, and they ended the game the next series 11 of their next 40, 27% over the last 30 minutes.
Napper continues to show you flashes. Mm-hmm. So we're back to the inconsistency, which is one of the big problems with this whole team. Just go right down the list of guys. But he continues to show you some things. A willingness to take shots, a willingness to score. He got to the basket a couple times. So it feels like it's in there. It just isn't coming out as much as you would ideally like it to come out. But again, a lot of that's youth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly is. So for the game, West Virginia ends up shooting just 35% from the field. 65-51 is the final score. WVU ends up with 15 turnovers. 2 players were responsible for 10 of the 15. 5 by Derek Culver and 5 by Jermaine Haley. And that just is just, you know, god-awful, to be quite honest with you. It's just too many. And the way that the ball's being turned over at times is just so soft, and lob passes like you make in a schoolyard, that it's just crazy. You know, you'd rather have them turn the ball over by firing it so hard that it jams the guy's fingers that's taking the ball in, rather than lollipop lobs. That's what I'd rather see. Just scorch it out of bounds rather than lob it. Those are the live ball turnovers, just absolutely crushing. All right, so that's the deal. Now West Virginia off until Saturday afternoon, when they play the Baylor Bears in Waco. And this will be a short trip to Waco. Last 2 times we've been there, we've had the extra day. So I will not be able to get over to Magnolia Farms to see Chip and Joanna this time.
Nor will you be able to watch Baylor baseball. Didn't you watch a baseball game last time?
Went over, walked over in our off day. Yeah, sat in the cold. By the way, speaking of that, Mountaineer baseball team playing this afternoon. Canisius.
Yes.
On the schedule. Now, they added that game yesterday.
Yeah, like 24 hours ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second year in a row, this is what must be happening. Canisius baseball team, they're out in Buffalo, about 5.5 hours away. They just get on a bus, I think is what they do. And they just kind of like, you know, when they refuel those military planes, they just drive around and they fly around in a circle. Canisius baseball team, they just go around in a circle, about 300-mile circle around this area, and they wait for the phone to ring. And then, like, these other baseball teams will just call and say, hey, you guys make it over tomorrow for a game? And they go, Heck yeah, we're coming in. So Canisius, they announced it yesterday. They're going to come in and play a game.
They're where? Where are they located?
Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
It's probably hot here for them.
Well, so they play their first home game in July when they get the field cleared.
No.
So they probably do that. They probably just stay down here in the general area.
Third week of June.
Take some online classes. Yeah. Just wait for the phone to ring.
College, it just makes me giggle every year. College baseball, the only sport in college that you can schedule on an Etch-a-Sketch. I mean, they just like put it on that glass. Yesterday's Canadian. If it does, shake it, and we'll put another team on there. I love that. Anyway, questions ready from our text line?
Sure.
This one goes to Nate. I'm a transplanted Mountaineer in Northern California. Coach Huggins said last week that you practiced with the team after the dismissal of Issa and Harris. Do you think the team is now more of a team? Was this addition by subtraction?
Yeah, I think it's more of a team. There's definitely a different feel to it. I think practice has been more lively than it has been all year. People are competing a little more than they used to, and I think that's a good thing. That's definitely a good start to it. I think a lot of what's happened is they don't really understand how to play very well with each other. When we're in there and we're running sets, we're running the other team stuff because that's usually what I'm doing for us. They don't get to where the open part of the court is necessarily, if that makes sense. And somebody drives, nobody's getting out of line from their defender to try to get an open shot, or it's just little stuff like that that seems like they haven't quite picked up on yet. And I think that's a lot because, like I said, practice hasn't been as competitive as it usually is in previous years during the first half of the season, and that's a big part of what needs to change.
Yeah. Speaking of that, imagine go back to that Kansas State. You see how he trimmed that? Not that he's got a ton of players, but he really reduced minutes last night. He used seven guys, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He used seven guys. Seven guys got double-figure minutes. Other than that, Trey Dooms got a minute. Logan Rock got seven. Harler off the bench, 22. Jordan McCabe, 13. Basically played seven guys. Think about that. How far has that come? You were pounding people by using 12 guys in the past, press Virginia, 12 and 13 guys, and I cut it down to seven. All right, next question. Ronnie in Elkins.
Did Ronnie play against Nate in AAU?
Does not say if he ever played against Nate, but you probably played some AAU up in Elkins, didn't you?
A little bit.
Yeah. This is for group discussion. With the season winding down and Sags' NBA dreams, will Sagabaugh Kanate ever play again at WVU?
Go ahead, Nathan. Take the first shot.
Why don't you take this one first, and then I'll come in
I'm not going to predict. I'm starting to side with you. I mean, how do you know that? How do you make predictions on this group? I will say this. I hope you see him in a WV uniform again.
All right.
I would like to see him next year back with a mindset of I need to have a good year to have a chance to NBA, G League, overseas, whatever it is. I would like to see him make one more run in a West Virginia uniform with that particular mindset. So whether he will or won't, don't know. Anybody's guess. I would like to see that.
The problem with that is you have to try to make a call on how hurt Sags actually is whenever he sees doctors here who don't think he's hurt and your team doctor doesn't necessarily think there's anything wrong with him. And he's still deciding not to play. You have to try to determine at how much of that is just disobedience of the coaches and how that transcends throughout the rest of your team. Because at the end of the day, you need 13 guys in the locker room who are all on the same page as your coaches. And that's top to bottom. Your strength and conditioning coach, your equipment manager, your trainers, your coaches, your players all need to be on the same page in order to be successful, especially at a school like this.
Yeah. If he does put his name in again – and try the NBA, he's going to have to go through those workouts. I mean, you're going to have to go through workouts. You're going to have to go through physicals. So I don't know. You know, I don't know what the options are that he has. He's got to prove that he's healthy enough for someone to say we'll take him, even if it's late second round.
Well, remember, I mean, if we're talking just specifically NBA, that's a tough jump from where he is now. It was a fringe move last year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have not only a body of work that doesn't exist for this year, but, yeah, you have the injury situation on top of it. It would seem to me that's a near impossibility to move from where it is right now to an NBA roster next year. I think there's at the very least got to be some sort of bridge in there before that becomes a reality, I would think.
What people don't really understand is in the NBA, you don't get paid to be a backup center and be hurt. you get paid to play every single game, no matter what. They're not going to waste their money on somebody who's not going to be in there every night.
By the way, speaking of in the NBA, with Javon being here, did you spend much time with him?
I saw him for a while.
You ask him for any money? Like, no, guys are always asking NBA guys for money. Like, do you go like, hey, Javon, like $20?
Nope.
25? I mean, you're probably in there because a lot of what I did for you, blocks out. What do you think?
I try to tell him
what
that.
What do you think, Senator? What do you think, 50? 50, 75? I mean.
I want credit for half his steals.
Off the double team?
Yep.
I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. All right. Next up. By the way, I need to make a correction from last week's show. I said we were talking about 1,000 point scores in the history of WV. There's 53. And I said only two that I knew of had been dismissed. And it was Drew Schifino and Issa Mott. And someone sent me a Twitter note and said, you guys forgot Lionel Armstead. And I went, oh, did he not finish? So I did look it up, and he missed like the last seven games of his senior season, but he did score over 1,000 points.
Yeah, you told me
did
that.
Did you remember that?
You rehashed the story for me. I had not. I think that was longtime listener Rance from the Charleston area.
Right.
Who tweeted us there. I do not recall that.
But it was interesting. So I started looking into it, and I did the Google search, and they announced that Lionel Armstead and Tim Lyles were both off of the team on the very same day. I went like, wait a second, they weren't the same class. And so then I started to dig even further. I totally forgot. Like, Lyles missed a whole season because of a knee, and he basically his career came to he only played 2 years. So that was, you know, that was great. I mean, those are. I'd love to find out now, like, what are those guys doing now? I know Lionel's still trying to play, believe it or not. I mean, I've seen that not all that long ago he was playing, but like Tim Lyles, like, what's up?
Yeah,
that was so weird, right? Wasn't that a weird time?
What year was that? 2001?
That was 2000, because they brought him from the Charleston airport, drove him as fast as they could, put his uniform on in the car from the Charleston airport to the Charleston Civic Center,
yeah,
got into the game in the second half against Georgetown after attending the funeral of a friend in Baltimore that day, and led West Virginia to a victory over Georgetown. So that was the 2000 season when West Virginia played all of its games on the road. That's wild stuff. All right, so this next question is this. And when I saw it, I went like, well, you could kind of give this a quick answer, or you can dive deep. So this is Ed in Pittsburgh. Guys, absolutely enjoy listening to the show. Question. Do you think this is a one-year blip, or will it take multiple seasons to recover? Is this a one-year blip, or will it take multiple seasons to recover? So what I did was I put on my focus and concentration music on YouTube and said, okay, let's take a deep dive into this thing. And the question that I asked myself is, what is a realistic number of improvement in wins in the conference from 1 year to the next? So I looked at the Big 12 conference teams, you know, for the most part over the last 7 years. Sometimes I went 8 or 9 years back to see what their conference records were on a year-to-year basis and what is a realistic number of games of improvement. You guys with me on that?
Okay.
So, like, how much can you expect? Like, right now, West Virginia is sitting here at 2-11. So they have 5 league games remaining. So West Virginia is going to win no more than 7 league games if they were to go undefeated, which obviously is not expected. Whatever that number turns out to be, how many more can they get next year? What's history say? Because I think history is really, really good at this kind of stuff. So follow me now, because I don't have any graphs or charts for you. So, and I know we're throwing out a bunch of numbers, and I'll try to do it as easy as it can be when you're just listening. So I took a look at Texas Tech, and I said, you know, what have they done as far as improvement goes? Because obviously right now, you know, they're in contention for the Big 12 championship. Go all the way back to the 2011-12 season when West Virginia first got in to the Big 12 conference. Texas Tech went 1-17 in the Big 12 that season. That was the last year for Billy Gillespie. The next year, they went from 1 league win to 3 league wins. So they had 3 league wins. That was under their interim/head coach Chris Walker. Then Tubby Smith comes in, and they improved by 3 games in his first year. Then they went backwards by 3 games the next year, and then they jumped up 6. So they went from a 3-win season to a 9-9 season under Tubby Smith. That went up 6. And I'll tell you this, a 6-game improvement isn't the most that I saw, but that's really, really good. And to be quite honest with you, that's hard to do, is improve by 6 games from 1 year to the next. Here's TCU. In the Big 12, they went 2-16, 0-18, and then after they went winless, they won 4. The next year, they went back down to 2. Then they went up another 4. They went 6-12 in Jamie Dixon's first season. Then Jamie Dixon has taken them from 6 wins to 9 wins, and now in his third season, they are 5-8. And they still have, obviously, 5 games to go. But the biggest improvement for Jamie Dixon has been he went up 4 league wins. That's the most so far. And he's not going to do much better than that. The best he could do this year is 10-8, which would be a 1-game improvement over last year, and that's not happening. That team we saw last night, Kansas State, here's a good one for you guys. When those guys that are seniors now, Kamau Stokes, Barry Brown, and Dean Wade, when they were freshmen, they went 5-13. Their sophomore year, they went 8-10. They got better by 3. The next year, they got better by 2. They went 10-8. And right now in their senior year, they're 10-3 with 5 to go. So their biggest improvement has been 3. It might be better, but that's 3, 4, 5 is what it's going to be. Oklahoma State. Travis Ford's last year there, they went 3 wins in the league. The very first year for Brad Underwood, they went up by 6. They went to 9-9. And again, that's hard to do. Historically, you look at the 6-win improvement in the league from 1 year to the next, that doesn't happen often. There are some exceptions. Texas, 8-10 in Rick Barnes' last year in the league. Shaka Smart came in and won 3 more in his first year. Then dropped from 11 wins all the way down to 4. 7 games on the negative side. Then last year, they went up 4 wins to 8-10. Now this year, they're at 7 wins, 7-6 with 5 games to play. So again, you don't see these huge, huge differences. In other words, you're not going to see someone win, for the most part, 6, 7 wins improvement in the league. That's hard to do. Now Baylor. These boys have been consistent. They've won at least 8 conference games over the last, how many years was that? Like 6, 7 years. Their low point was 8-10 last season. And now they're 7-5. And so they still have 6 games to go. And obviously West Virginia was not, next. The biggest jump that they improved was a 6-game improvement in 08-09, they went from 5 wins to 11 wins in the course of a season. I want to jump over to Iowa State because they had the single biggest jump in one season. Fred Hoiberg, who, Senator, didn't you play high school basketball against him?
I did.
He was pretty good, wasn't he?
Very.
Did you ever score on him?
Mm-hmm.
He ever score on you?
Yeah.
Iowa State's biggest jump was 9 wins. Fred Hoiberg's first season, they were 3-13 in the league. And then they went to 12-6 in his second season. That's weird. They only played 16 league games. Would that be right? In his first season, they went to 12-6. So that was an improvement of 9 games. And then they won double-figure league games 4 straight seasons. Steve Prohm has gone 10-8, 12-6. They went 12-6 his second season. They dropped 8 wins last year. Remember Iowa State? They were 4-14 at the end of last year. Now they're 8-4. They've gone up 4 already with 6 to play. So they could also have a big impact. Now, West Virginia, historically, what we're seeing right now to this minute is unprecedented. West Virginia is currently 9 games under last season's win total. West Virginia had 11 league wins last year. Right now they're sitting at 2. That's never happened at West Virginia in conference play, whether it be Atlantic 10, Big East, or Big 12 in the modern era. There are 5 games remaining. Keep that in mind. The previous biggest single season decline was in conference wins was a negative 7. The 98 Mountaineer team that won that went to the Sweet 16 in Boise was 11-7. The next year they went to 4-14. They went down 7. And the next year that 4-14 won 6 games. And then they won 8 games the following year and then collapsed to a 1-15 at the end of the 2002 season. Under John Beilein, West Virginia's gone 5 league wins to 7 league wins to 8 league wins to 11 league wins to 9 league wins. So the biggest improvement Beilein ever had at West Virginia was a plus 3 in league play from one year to the next. Now under Huggs, West Virginia has gone 11 wins, 10 wins, 13 wins, 11 wins, 9 wins. Then they had that weird year, the 13-19 season that we're talking about a lot recently at 2012. They went 6-13 overall. And then they went from 6 wins to 9 to 11 to 13. That's the Final Four team. Out of the Final Four, they went to 12, and then they went to 11. The biggest improvement since Huggs has been here in one season in league play has been he's gone up 3 games. The biggest decrease has been negative 3 games from one year to the next. And I'll just close it really quick here with Oklahoma. Lon Kruger, he's gone. His biggest improvement was a plus 7. His biggest improvement was a plus 7. He went from a 5-13 season to a 12-7 season. But then he's gone from 12-6 a couple years ago. They went to 5-13 last year, and they're right now they're 8-10 last year. Now they're 4-9. So his biggest up's been 7, biggest down's been 7. All of that is saying this: the biggest single season improvement in one year was Fred Hoiberg went plus 9, plus 7 is what Oklahoma's done, plus 6 is hard to do, but some have done it. Other than that, you're in the 3-4 range. I hope I didn't kill you all with those numbers, but I don't know if that, does that help or is it?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of numbers in there, obviously. A couple things that jumped out at me. Number one is define recovering, right? So what's recover mean?
Right.
Right. Is it what's an acceptable recovery rate? That's number one. The other thing, as I was going down there, there was a lot of examples of one coach to the next, which doesn't apply here because you're having obviously the same guy run through.
Right.
Then not only are you having the same guy run through, you're running through a guy that's one of the winningest coaches in college basketball history, a certain Hall of Famer down the road. So which of those guys fit that model? Maybe not Bruce Weber. Not Scott Drew. Lon Kruger's the one.
Right.
So I'm kind of looking at the Oklahoma one there from a Lon Kruger fitting that profile. The other one would be maybe a little bit of that jump if you're trying to be optimistic in Fred Hoiberg's year, because if you remember what Hoiberg's model was, it was reload that thing with a ton of transfers and JUCOs. Will Bob Huggins have to do that next year to supplement this roster with more JUCOs or a grad transfer to that we haven't necessarily seen? So those are the two that kind of jumped out to me the most, Oklahoma and Iowa State's first year under Fred.
I think that's fair on your part. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good assessment, because you're right. When you make coaching changes, things change, obviously, and they uptick, and that's not going to happen here. So I think the Hoiberg model, right? The Hoiberg model, if you're Bob Huggins and you sit there and you go like, okay, got myself a little bit of a problem here. What's the best way? Who's fixed it in certain ways? How'd they do it? I think that probably is a good way to look at it. That's my thought. Did you have anything else, Senator? You said you did some numbers.
I did do some numbers.
Yeah.
So we've identified a bunch of problems with this team.
Yeah.
Offensively, defensively. I mean, just go down the list. There's a lot of them. But what has jumped out to me recently is the offense. You realize now there's 4 straight games that West Virginia has not scored more than 60 points? four straight games in the 50s. So I got to thinking, that can't have happened very often. You know what? It hasn't.
Since?
You have to go all the way back to 1973 to find the last time West Virginia scored in the 50s in four consecutive games. In fact, if you went back over the last three seasons, scoring in the 50s only happened a combined seven times in the previous three seasons. It's happened eight this year, including the four in a row run that West Virginia's on right now. So I don't know that that tells us anything other than they're really having trouble scoring, which you didn't need those stats to tell you that.
It's pretty easy to watch that.
You're in a historically bad run from an offensive standpoint. So what's that tell us? If you can't score and you're not going to play defense near the level you have the last 3 years, you're going to end up with scores as you've seen the last few times. But that surprised me that it was, 1973, how many years is that?
47.
Double my lifetime.
Hey, by the way, Nathan was involved in one of those 50-point games. He was in that 51-50, right? Kansas State.
Yes, Kansas State in the Big 12 tournament.
That was
a tough game to watch.
I love that game. It was so bad. It was good. I love that 51-50.
There hasn't been many of those, but K-State shows up more than once.
Yeah, they do, don't they?
Yeah.
I was talking to Hugs about it before the game last night. You know, their number, as I said, four in the country in scoring defense. And he said, well, one of the reasons why, do you know why? Because they go slow on offense. They limit your possessions.
Same thing with Virginia.
Virginia, Temple, the old Temple teams.
There's a lot of Temples that showed up back in the day.
Yeah, Temple will do that. Temple loved
it. This was kind of interesting to me. Temple showed up a lot. Kansas State shows up a bunch. Gonzaga shows up a lot. For a series that hasn't featured many games, West Virginia scoring in the 50s against them has happened three times.
It's because they usually beat us by 30.
Yeah, there's a couple of those in there.
They guard.
You have to go back one more comparison. I'll let this go, but you have to go back. This won't surprise you. The last time West Virginia had this many games in a season when it scored in the 50s, would you like to take a guess? You'll probably figure out the last one, the most recent time.
Give me.
2013 season when you went 13-19.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you.
So that would, again, also make some sense. So those are more stats just to back up what you're seeing, but boy, that's a long time that you've had this kind of offensive futility.
We invite you to download the BetLucky app. Now sports betting is made easy. The senator, he's fallen in love with the thing. I mean, he takes a look at these numbers. He finds trends. He's in-game stuff going on there. He's a big advocate. All you have to do is go to the BetLucky app, and you can download that, whether an iTunes person or an Android person. Just check it out. And right now, you'll get two times your first bet back in bonus money, up to $20. Once again, you must be over the age of 21. You must be in the state to use the BetLucky app. And all games are regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please do play responsibly. Closing note, we'll be back again with a preview of the Baylor game on Thursday. Yeah, that's what we'll do. On Thursday, we'll be back. As far as the other continent that checked in and wanted information, Australia. Got a listener in Australia. And that was good to see. Also, he's going to send us some stuff. And WVU grad does graduate school. Also, some unknown reason, but Nathan and I were looking at the geography analytics of the show. People are loving us in Ireland.
Oh, big in Ireland.
68 downloads.
68 downloads in Ireland.
So we were at one time the state's fastest growing podcast. We moved to the regions. Mm-hmm. I think we might have skipped the nation's fastest growing podcast, and we're clearly the fastest growing international sports podcast that exists. Would that be fair?
That deals with West Virginia, yes. I don't think there's any question about that. We're out, man. Thanks for being with us. Episode 94 in the book. Talk to you again on Thursday. Three Guys Before the Game, brought to us by BetLucky. See y'all.